So this morning I want to speak to you on how you can become an effective soul winner. How you can become an effective soul winner. That is the reason that the Lord has left us here. It is to win souls. Otherwise, He would have taken you to heaven the moment you got saved. You're here because you're planted amongst souls. Look at Proverbs 11 and verse number 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. John 15 verse 8. Familiar verses. I quote them regularly. Verse 8 of John 15. Here is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. This morning's message is going to probably be very brief, to be honest with you. It's 3 points. And I've got my conclusion. I've got multiple scriptures to go to in those, but they're not long scriptures. It's a basic principle on how you and I can become more effective in our soul winning. And sometimes the answers we're looking for can be right there in front of us, and we won't see them. Those of you that are parents, how many times have you torn your house apart looking for this thing called a pacifier, only to find it right in the middle of the dining room table? How often have you gone out and looked for your glasses, only to find them right on top of your head where you left them? Or a pen in your ear? Years ago in school, it was Christmas time. We had a Christmas party. And the kids had exchanged some gifts. The children had exchanged some gifts. And it was snowing outside, so they were all inside. Hadn't even been outside. They were all inside that day, getting ready to go home early. And one of the teenage boys came to me and said, "Pastor, nobody can leave till I say so. We've got a thief amongst us." And I said, "No, I don't think there's any thieves among us here." I said, I think you're okay." He said, "No." I said, "Why would you say that? Somebody stole my watch." I said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Have you looked everywhere?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Go look again." About an hour later, he comes back. He hadn't even been out in the snow looking. He hadn't even been out in the snow. I didn't know he was outside. He'd gone outside. I said, "You weren't even supposed to be outside." Well, I looked in the snow. I looked on my desk. I looked in my bag. It's nowhere. Someone stole my watch. Nobody can leave. It's time to go home, but nobody can leave till they find my watch. I said, "What did it look like?" And he pulled up his shirt sleeve and said, "Oh, just like that. It's right there." And it was on his arm the whole time. I laughed so hard. I didn't mean to, but I couldn't help it. I laughed so hard. I'll never forget that, probably to the day I die. But it was right there in front of him. And sometimes the answers we're looking for, we get to heaven, we're going to find out they were just sitting right there for us to take hold of. And this morning's message is going to be that way. You're going to say, "Oh, that's easy. That's right. I knew that. That's right there." But do we really get it? Father, help us this morning as we go into Your Word. Help us in our Christian lives to become more effective soul winners. That is the purpose that You have left us here in this world, I believe. It is the reason for our still ministering here, is because You want us to reach souls individually and collectively as a church. You want us to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son. You want folks to know that You love them, that You died for them. And that is our ministry of all of us here. And so I pray this morning this message will stir our hearts. If there are any here without Christ, oh Father, I pray that as the Word goes forth and the Holy Spirit speak to the hearts and draw them to Christ, as only You can do through Your Word, Father. I ask in my Savior's most wonderful, precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This will be simple. 3 points. It'll go rather quickly. I might even set record time getting out of here for you today. I won't guarantee that. But I might. Turn, if you would, to John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. And my first point is right here in this verse. In John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The first point to becoming an effective soul winner is to realize, number one, how much God loves you. How much did He love you? For God so loved the world, that be you and me, that He gave His only begotten Son. You can read what that cross meant. You can read in the Scriptures the agony He went through on the cross. You can read in the garden where He prayed, "Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." And God loves you so much. He knew you were wicked. He knew you were a sinner. He knew we were ungodly. He knew that all our righteousness was filthy rags. He knew there was nothing we could do to erase the sins that we had committed. There was nothing we could never begin to pay the penalty. He knew that. And so He Himself became the sacrifice in the form of God the Son on Calvary's cross. My friend, will you realize this morning, number one, how much God loves you? And if you're not saved this morning, would you understand He went to that cross because He loves you and He wants you in heaven, but you cannot go there until you come to Christ for forgiveness, till you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans 5:8 tells us, "But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." A lot of folks will say they love, but real love comes when you show it. And God showed His love on that cross. He demonstrated to you. He showed to you. He proved to you and I how much He loves us. So the first step, we've heard John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. The first step to becoming an effective soul winner is to realize what He did for you. Because He loves you. You're only redeemed. You're only forgiven. You're only on your way to heaven because God loved you. And the second point, 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. We are to love Him back. We are to love the Lord with all our heart. In John 14, and verse 15, He says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." And of course, the commandment of the Great Commission, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," is concerning the gospel. We'll come back to that in a few moments. But that's His commandment. If you love Me, we're to love with all our heart. We're to seek to do what pleases Him. Our desire is, "Lord, how can I please You more? How can I make You smile more? How can I show You how grateful I am for the love You had towards me? That You gave Your life a ransom for mine. That You shed Your blood in place of mine." John 14 and verse 21. "He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. And he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father, and I will love him and will manifest Myself to him." Don't just tell God you love Him. You ought to tell Him that. Amen? He likes to hear it. But you ought to show God you love Him. How do you do that? You keep His commandments. That keeps your life holy, your testimony pure, and it keeps you out soul winning. As you go your way in the family, work, neighborhoods, your business dealings, you're amongst souls. And His commandment is, tell them about Me. Tell them I love them as much as I loved you. Because you love Him. John 15, verse 14. "Ye are My friends if you do whatsoever I command you." We're to show Him our gratitude. We're to show Him our love. And it's not to be just a put on, it's to come from here. And when it comes from here, there'll be actions that come forth that show that when it comes from the heart. You see, you can't love God with all your heart without getting the heartbeat of God. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter. Now we're coming back to John there in a minute, so you might want to put a marker there for yourself. But 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says this: "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That was God's heartbeat. That is the love of God that sent the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. And that is to be the heartbeat, as we love God back, is to tell them the good news that Jesus saves, that He has come. He went to that cross in their place. He gave His life a ransom in exchange for theirs. He shed His blood instead of shedding their blood. God has forgiven. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The love that we have should show others what He did for us. Mark 12 and verse 30. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. If you love me," He said, "keep my commandments." And the first commandment is to love Him back. Amen? And so, to be another soul winner, number one, you must realize how much God loves you. Number one, you must experience salvation and realize that's because God loves you and how much He loved you, that He gave His Son. Number two, that in gratitude you should love Him back with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might, with all your being. You ought to love Him back. Which leads me to point three. You can't realize the love of God and you can't love God without this third point. And if you don't have the third point, I would say you have not yet got the second point. But if you have the second point, if you get the first point and you had the second point, you will naturally have the third point. Turn with me to Jude chapter 1, which there is only one chapter in Jude, but Jude chapter 1. You see, if we realize how much God loves us and we love Him back with all our heart, we will naturally love the souls of all mankind. I don't care what they look like. I don't care how they act. I don't care how they smell. I don't care how smart they are or how not smart they are. That's if you can say it that way in English. I don't care if they're rich or poor. I don't care about the color of their skin. I don't care about the background. I don't care what sin they're caught up in. God still loves them and gave His life. If we can get them to Christ, He can forgive them, He can change them, He can save them, just like He did you. Just like He did me. In Jude verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 20, "But you, beloved, build up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God." You notice that? You have to stay in love with God to get this. "Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference. And others stay with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Verse 22, "Some have compassion, making a difference." I wish that said many, but it doesn't. Because to be honest with you, there's few that really get this. But the few that do, boy, can they make a difference. Some having compassion, that love. As you look at lost souls, you don't look down upon them as if you're better than them. You don't look at them like a Pharisee and say, "Oh, I'm glad I'm not what they are. I mean, I'm so good, I do all this." You've missed the point. Had He not have saved you, had He not have cleansed you, had He not have changed you, that could have been you. You only are what you are by the grace of God. And so as you see folks in the world and you see some pretty horrific sights and you hear some pretty awful things that are going on in the world today, and people are wicked, the heart of man is desperately wicked, who then can know it? And there's some pretty ungodly things going on out there. But if we can get them to Christ, if we can show them His love, and if our love for Him and our love for them can get them to Christ, He can save them as well. Do you believe there's a real heaven? Are you fully assured in your heart? Do you believe there's a real hell? Are you fully assured of that in your heart? are both eternal. Hell goes in the lake of fire, but it does last forever. In the lake of fire. Are they both forever? Then everyone we know is going to either heaven or hell. And your compassion could make the difference. Your love for them that says to them, I'm going to carry the gospel to them. I don't care if they get mad at me. I don't care if they rebuke me. I don't care if they do reject me. I don't care. They're going to at least know that God loves them and that I love them and that He can save them. I'll put up with the ridicule. I'll put up with the rejection. I'll put up with whatever they throw at me because I love God and I love them. And God loves me. I love Him and I love them and He loves them. And I will go. Some having compassion make a difference. We should ask ourselves in our lives right now, are we making a difference? If we're not making a difference, maybe we ought to check out our compassion, our love we have for the souls of all mankind. As we go through our day, what do we do? At the teen activity on Friday night, I've been kidding with the girl behind the counter and talking to her like I wanted a right-hand putter. Not a left-hand putter. Of course, you can go either way. That's what I want. When I play baseball, I always ask for a left-handed bat and left-handed ball. I mean, a right-handed bat and right-handed ball and that kind of stuff and everything. I was kidding with her about that. And, you know, the cart wasn't working right because I didn't win and those kind of things. And then when I got done, I told her, I said, now, I came to see you at work, didn't I? And she smiled and said, yeah, you did. I said, will you come see me at work? She said, why? And I handed her a track and invited her to church and said, this is our youth group you're seeing right here. We'd love to have you come be a part of it. And she smiled and said, well, where is it at? And I told her where it was at. And I hope to see her someday. But I looked at that little girl behind that counter and I realized, there's a young girl with a soul. And I'm here having fun, but I must not get my eyes off of souls while I'm doing it. Amen? Wherever you go, out to dine, out to shop, at the hospital or doctor's, do you realize God has put you there called divine appointments? God makes no mistakes. And He's sending folks across your path so you can show them His love. You can have compassion. Years ago, we were on Skyline Drive. My wife and I were for a time away. And we got where Skyline Drive ends before you get on the Blue Ridge Parkway. You know where it ends down there? And my wife went into the restroom and there was a young lady in there and she was weeping and crying and all shook up. My wife asked her, told her she's a pastor's wife. Could she pray for her? And here a little boy had his toes cut off in a mower and had been flown somewhere for surgery, I guess to save his foot and or his life. And she was driving to get there and she was just so shook up she didn't know how it was going. And so my wife gave her a track and told her that we loved her and that God loved her more. We'd be praying for her. And we never heard back from her. But what caused my wife to stop and talk to her was someone was brokenhearted and she had compassion and wanted to make a difference. That's what compassion does. It sees that person in their sin. It sees them in their wickedness and it says, I want to make a difference. I at least want to offer them the only way out there is, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to show them that they can be set free from the bondage they're in. And compassion says, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to bring them to church. I'm going to put tracts in their hand. I'm going to sit down with the Bible. I'm going to show them any opportunity I have. Any way I can, I'm going to show them the love God had for me, the love He has for them, and the love I have for Him, and the love I have for them. That's what makes an effective soul winner. It's got to be done out of compassion, out of love for God, for souls. Mark 12. Back in Mark 12, you were there a few moments ago. But Mark 12, I want you to look at the verse following the verse we looked at. We looked at Mark 12, 30 a few moments ago. The first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. And let's look at the second greatest commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So the greatest is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy might. The second is love thy neighbor. Who's thy neighbor? Anybody you come in contact with, anybody you can make a difference with. The Samaritan along the side of the road, or a family member, it doesn't matter. You can make a difference. Some have compassion. Make the difference. John 15, I told you to stay there a minute ago. In John 15, in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now I want you to ask yourself, how much love did he have for you? Look at verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, you have family and friends, don't you? Folks you care about? Are you willing to lay down your life for the cause of the gospel to go tell them about Jesus Christ? You know that's why missionaries go overseas into foreign lands and put their life in danger, because they love the souls of mankind more than their own life. And you won't be a soul winner if you don't love the souls of mankind more than you love your own life. If you don't put those first. Greater love has this. This is how you show your love to him. That a man lay down his life for his friends. You risk everything to come tell them. Our Lord came unto his own, and his own received him not. He understands rejection. But as many as received him, to them gave you power to become sons of God. Yes, you will face rejection, but you will also face those that will say, I believe. And you must go because of that. Many are called, few are chosen, but we go for the few. And we pray for many. And we make a difference. You've got to realize God loves you. You've got to love Him back with all your heart. And you've got to love the souls of mankind. Matthew 28 is how we accomplish that. These are our marching orders. If you love God like He loved you, if you love the souls of mankind, you will get this. And the good news is, you don't do it by yourself. When you go to lay down your life for them, when you go to tell them, and when you go to show them His love, He's going right there with you. The power of His Holy Spirit that indwells you will fill you and will give you the boldness and the guidance and the power to do it. In Matthew 28, verse 18, He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, that's His commandment now, if you love Him, keep it, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teach them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He's with you always. When you go out there, whether it be in a far country or across the street, He's with you. He's there before you get there. He knows you're going there. He's setting the stage for you before you get there. You say, then how come they reject it? That's their choice still. But there are those, I can tell you time and time again, there are those that I've gone to that have received it. And that's why we go. James 5. James 5. My last verse on my third point. In verse 19. The love you have for the souls of mankind. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. When that happens, there's rejoicing in heaven. And if you truly love the souls of mankind, you'll rejoice as well. I can remember years ago, I had a family call me at 2 in the morning because their son had just gotten saved. And I said, where are you at? And they were at his place. I said, do you mind if I come over? And I got up and I went over and I rejoiced with them that their son had come to Christ. Amen? It's wonderful. A soul got saved. Hallelujah. See, if you realize how much God loves you, and if you love Him back with all your heart in return, and you love the souls of mankind, you can't help but get excited when someone comes to Christ. When some life is forever changed, when some who is heading down a wrong path, headed for destruction, their life is going to be ruined, and they come to Christ, and they're forgiven, they're saved, they're spared, they're changed. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, listen. That's all it takes to become an effective soul winner. Realize how much God loves you. Love Him back with all your heart in return. And then love the souls of mankind with all your heart. And you can't help but go. And if you'll have those three points in your life, it's hard to tell how far God will take you with that. Where He may even call you to. He has things planned for you you may not even begin to imagine for the cause of souls. If you'll let these three points be what controls your life. You see, all around us in this world is wicked. This world is a mess. This world is headed to hell and it's headed there fast. This world is headed for self-destruction all on its own. But there are folks all around us searching for the truth, looking for answers. That's why religion is so prevalent in the world and causing so many problems. They're looking for answers. The only answer is found in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not found in religion. It's found in a relationship. And they're looking for that. And they're looking at all these religions. And even atheist is a religion. They're looking for all the answers. And yet, we have the answer. Look at me, if you would, at Joel, back in the Old Testament. Back in the minor prophets, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Joel there, at the beginning of the minor prophets. Chapter 3 and verse 14. Multitudes. Multitudes. In the valley of decision. Could I put a little asterisk there? And could you write Jude 1 verse 22? Some having compassion. Make a difference. Multitude in the valley of decision. For the Lord, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And some, Jude 1 verse 22 says, having compassion, make a difference in their decisions. Don't you want to make a difference? Don't you want to make a difference? Amen. Don't you want to, when you reach heaven, find out that there were multitudes of souls in that valley that came to Christ because you had compassion? Because you realized how much God loved you and you loved Him in return and you loved the souls that He died for. And you gave your life to reach those souls. You're losing your life that way. The Bible says you find it in Christ. Amen? And you will find it. Look at Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah, that great prophet, saw the image of the Lord there in heaven. And realized how holy God was and how much God had forgiven him for. And he loved God. And the Lord said unto them, "Who?" In verse 8, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah, looking at him, realizing how much God loved him and forgiven him, and just the love he had for God and the love he had for those that God also loved and was going to die for, he said, "Here am I, send me." That's the response that comes from someone that realizes how much God loves them. And they love Him in return. And they love His creature, the fallen creature, that He came to redeem. Acts chapter 9, and you know Acts chapter 9, that would be the Apostle Paul. And as the Apostle Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, after having hunted down Christians and imprisoned them, persecuted, been involved in their martyrs, and when God met him, the Lord Jesus Christ met him and forgave him. In verse 4, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And he, trembling and astonished, amazed, that God would even care enough to come speak to him, let alone die for him. And he said, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?'" Lord, you really do love me. "Oh Lord, I love you. What do you want from me, Lord? I want you to go tell the souls that I died for that I love them as much as I love you, comes the reply. Will you heed that this morning? Will you answer that call this morning? Who shall go for me? Will you say, here am I, Lord, send me? Will you say, Lord, what would you have me to do about these matter of souls? Lord, how can I make a difference? Lord, help me to have more compassion. Help me to show your love to them. Help me to realize how much you love me. Help me to love you more. And help me to love the souls you died for me. And wherever that takes me, Lord, I'm yours. I'm yours. There's an altar here this morning you can kneel at and tell him just that. You can have compassion and come to an altar weeping over those souls, telling God you love him, thanking him for loving you so much, and asking him for a burden, a vision, how you can make a difference for those souls that are still here. Those souls that he's put in your Jerusalem, that you can make a difference for them. That's how you become an effective soul winner. And the question now to you and I is, do we want to be an effective soul winner? It's worth it all if you're willing to do it. If you're here without Christ, he loved you so much that he gave his life for you on Calvary's cross. How sad it would be if we get to heaven and you're not there. He loves you as much as he loves us. He died for you as much as he died for us. And he wants you in heaven. But you must come to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. But if you'll come by way of Christ this morning, he can save you just as much as he saved us. And he saves to the utmost. Won't you walk the aisle in a few moments on the invitation and say, preacher, I need to know I'm saved. I'm so glad God loves me. And I want to accept his salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All counselors are here, Bibles in hand. Be happy to show you. And Christian, for you, do you want to become a more effective soul winner? There's your 3-point plan. It's sitting right there in front of you, so easy that we miss it. Please don't miss it this morning. Please hear it. Please heed it. Father, have your way in the invitation. Lord, I believe this is what you gave me for this morning. And I believe now your Holy Spirit's dealing with hearts that are here. The hearts of the lost that need to come to Christ, he's drawing them now. I pray in a few moments we begin to sing that they will come down the aisle and take my hand and say, preacher, I need to know that I'm saved. And then, Father, there are Christians in here this morning. Lord, I pray that they want to become a more effective soul winner. That they want to make a difference. I pray they'll come this morning to the old-fashioned altar and kneel there and thank you for how much you love them. That'll tell you how much they love you. And that'll tell you how much they want to reach the souls. They love the souls that you died for. Father, have your way in the invitation. I ask you in the power of your Holy Spirit, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to have your way here. I pray in his name alone. Amen. Take your friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, PA 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PastorHerb, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, mail.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.